Please be seated. Please be seated. Join me, if you will, as we pray this morning. As we push the pause button and the busyness of our lives and come before the Lord, I wonder if you would just say within yourself, you know, this past week I've pushed God to the margins. I haven't really let him be the centerpiece of my life. I wonder if right now you just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for pushing you to the margins of my life rather than surrendering to you to be the center of my life. I wonder if right now you may be thinking about someone who you know, that you love, who's far away from the Lord. And you need to just take just a minute and mention their name before the Lord. And ask the Holy Spirit right now to move on their heart, to move on their life. Have you thanked the Lord this week for all the blessings you have? Have you thanked him? Some of you have got just wheelbarrows full of blessings. I know you do. Have you thanked the Lord for them? I wonder if you'd be honest with the Lord today and say to the Lord, Lord, I need an encounter with you. I need a touch. Holy Spirit, I need you to move in power in my life. And then finally, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you know about him, maybe you could answer some Jeopardy questions and all that, but you don't really know him personally. I wonder if, just right there where you are, I just wonder if you would just pray this silently in your heart and in your mind. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you rose from the dead. And right now I surrender my heart and my life to you as Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins as I surrender myself to you. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time today, after the service, I'm going to be up here. And I'd love to talk to you about baptism as your next step. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to talk to you about next steps and how to grow in your faith. A lot of us would be willing to help you if you'd just let us know. Make yourself available. Man, we love you. We'd love to be able to help you in your journey, to be sure. Well, Father, thank you for today and your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And now, Father, be with us as we open your word. Speak to our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit, illumine the words of Scripture and change our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Where are Grace Kids today? Grace Kids, where are you? Tell them we love them. And there is my wife. All right. Hey, wife. All right. Very good. We always are looking for people who are capable and able to help with kids. So if you've not found your place in ministry yet here at Grace, we would love to help you do that. We have a bunch of kids, different ages, doing different things. And man, we sure would love to put you to work serving those and caring for those who can't care for themselves. So would encourage you to pray about that. Well, we've been going through a series called Surrender. This is Lent. For those of you who come from liturgical backgrounds, you come from those churches that celebrates Lent. Lent is that time between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. And it is designed to help us remember the Lord's suffering in preparation for ministry. And it's sort of that 40-day period of time when he went to the wilderness and was tempted and struggled and fasted and sort of in preparation for what the Father had for him after he came out of the wilderness. And in Lent, what we do here is we look at anything in our life and everything in our life that might stand in way of us knowing the Lord and following the Lord at a deeper level. And so we've been going through a surrender series, and today we're going to talk about something that's very near and dear to the American heart. As a matter of fact, I would say that this might be the most profound thing in the American mind for most people. Not all people, but for most. And it is, we're going to ask you to surrender your stuff. Your stuff. Your money, stuff, and things. We are without a doubt a consumer nation. Matter of fact, our country is built around the mall. Think about this for a minute. If you go back to the 1700s, when towns and cities were being developed, and you can Google it and make sure I'm right, right? So when towns and cities were being developed, the center of town was always the church. The church was always going to be the center. The church was the tallest, you know, the steeple. There are buildings. There are still codes, not many places anymore, but there are still some codes, building codes, that no building can be higher than the steeple of the church. Isn't that cool? There's just a couple places. New Mexico has a couple places like that. Santa Fe, I believe, is the only capital city that still has that ordinance, that it's the steeple of the cathedral has to be taller than any other building. That was the center. Now, as time changed and the country moved westward, what became at the center of the town wasn't the church, but was the courthouse, because the need was for the law. The need was for the Wild West to be tamed. So as they built towns and they built cities, you would find the courthouse at the center as opposed to the church. Then fast forward to the 20th century, probably in the 1950s, as towns and cities and suburbs were being developed, the mall became the center of development. Matter of fact, when you would move and you would meet with a realtor, and we moved several times in the 80s and 90s, one of the first questions out of our mouths was, where's the mall? Anybody with us? And the realtors would say that's the number one issue, is proximity to shopping. Because money, stuff, and things really have moved to the centerpiece of our culture. And you know, if you're here today and that's something that you have struggled with, something that you have looked at, and it's a hard thing to admit, that you've become, or we've become, materialistic, and it's become materialism in our life, that we love stuff more than we love people, that money, stuff, and things is more important than the Lord and our neighbors. But we moved to that spot pretty quickly. And if that's you today, we're going to be praying for you. And we're going to be praying that God will help you surrender your stuff. So if you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We'll do 19 through 21 and verse 24. The Bible says this: now do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is talking here on the Sermon on the Mount. He's given his ethical teaching, his philosophy for how to live life and how to build a culture and how followers of his are to act and interact and react to each other. And he deals profoundly with the issue of money, stuff, and things. Jesus spoke about money, stuff, and things more than he did faith, hope, and love. He spoke more about money, stuff, and things than any of those, more than heaven, more than hell. Why? Because it's the main thing that keeps us oftentimes from walking closely with the Lord, experiencing God in the fullness, really understanding the freedom that we can have in the Christian experience. Listen, you can be free from all the commercials on TV. Can I at least get an amen for that? I mean, we can imagine what life would be like. How cool would life be if you could drive by a car dealership and it didn't matter? How cool would it be if you could drive by a mall and it didn't matter? How cool would it be if you could see all of this stuff pop up on your computer with this sale and that sale and this sale and that sale, and it didn't matter? How great would it be if you were so far removed from the trappings of culture that culture couldn't drag you down, beat you up, and redefine you in a way that isn't healthy and that isn't Christian? Wouldn't it be great to live above that? Well, Jesus says you can. So the first thing he says is this. He says, don't treasure the temporary things. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth where moth can eat it, where someone can steal it, and in the state of Florida, don't value something so highly and become so attached to it that a well-placed hurricane can't take care of it. Are you with me? I mean, if a hurricane can blow it away, then you probably shouldn't be that attached to it. Because how many of you know hurricanes are going to come? Amen, right? Here's the deal. We have confused some things. We've confused possessions with being possessed. Rick Warren said that we are consumed by the consumables and possessed by the possessables. There is nothing wrong. Jesus isn't saying right here that it's wrong to have stuff. If you've got a nice boat, enjoy it. You got a motorcycle, enjoy it. Got a nice car, enjoy it. Got a lovely home, enjoy it. Jesus isn't saying don't enjoy life. That's not what the message is. The message is don't be defined by the stuff that's temporary. Temporary things can only bring temporary joy and temporary pleasure. You are an eternal person. You're an eternal being trapped in a temporary body. Temporary stuff just absolutely brings temporary satisfaction. How many of you ever had a new car? Anybody ever had a new car? Who said a new car? How many of you don't want to play today? All right, nobody's playing, all right? All right, okay. You had a new car, and it was wonderful until the first rock jumped up and knocked the paint off. Am I right? Or you got the window got cracked, right? I mean, you know, you got a new car. Oh, the window's cracked. Paint's off. And it brought all of this joy until the paint got chipped. You know, if you view it as transportation, you're like, oh, man, I really wish the rock wouldn't have hit my car. But if you value it in an unhealthy way, you'll go home and cry. You go home and cry, right? And so it's a temporary thing, but we place so much value in temporary things that can only bring temporary satisfaction. There is nothing you can buy that has eternal significance in your life. Nothing. Now, here's the good news. There's nothing you can lose that'll take it away, take eternal significance away. So it's just not about that. So Jesus said, look, don't put so much faith, trust, hope, and time in things that are going to be stolen or rusted or destroyed over time, because that is not important in the long term. Now, the second thing he said is something very key. He said, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart also. I have never met a Christian in 30 years. I have never met a Christian in 30 years who said these words, I want my heart far from the Lord. I've never met them. I have never met a Christian who came to church saying, you know, I came to church today, but I want to backslide. Have you just heard that? I mean, I have never met a believer who just said, you know what? I don't care about my walk with the Lord. I've just never met them. Now, they may act like that sometimes. We all do struggles at times. We all have, we all fall and we have different issues. But I've never met a believer who just says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the Lord. I just don't meet those people. They're not in my sphere. So that means every believer, all of you, want your heart to be closer to the Lord. If you could walk out of here today, and if you say, okay, Terry, tell me one thing, and then let's take up the offering and be done. Hey, you want to vote on that? All right. Tell me one thing, we're going to be done. Here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you one thing that if you'll do it, your heart will be closer to the Lord because the Bible says it will. And here it is. Where you put your treasure is where your heart's going to follow. It's not vice versa. It's not, well, my heart's there, so I'm going to put my treasure there. That's not how it works. The Bible says put your treasure, and where you put your treasure is where your heart's going to go. I mean, those of us who have kids, and there's, you know, I am so privileged to know some of you because you are great parents. I mean, you are phenomenal. We have phenomenal parents in our church. I mean, you really are. And some of you, grandparents now. Huh? Isn't that great? Y'all know the old story. Yeah, you know the old story. Grandkids is God's way of thanking you for not killing your kids, right? I mean, that's sort of what they say, right? That's, you didn't kill your kids. You get grandkids now, right? So, you know. But anyway. And seriously, you guys are phenomenal, and I learn from you all the time as I watch you, as I listen to you, as I observe you. I'm still learning, so thank you for being great parents, and you really are. Your heart's with your kids, right? Your heart's with your kids. Your heart's with your kids the moment they show up, and I want you to catch this. Your treasure is with them also. Am I right? How many of you, I asked somebody the other day, you know, Madison's in college, she's in her second year, and Carson's getting ready to go away, and then Parker in a couple years, and I asked an older parent in our church, I said, does it ever stop? He said, what do you mean? The money, does it ever stop? And they said, no. You will be giving until you die. You will be broke forever. And I said, well, that's encouraging. Thank you, Barnabas. Right? I mean, that's awesome. So here's the deal. You love your kids. It's natural. And you know the old saying, when your kids say, oh, there goes my heart, that phrase, right? Where you put your money, where you write your checks, is where your heart is going to go. If you give to the kingdom of God, your heart's going to be in the kingdom of God. If you give to serving and helping others, your heart's going to attend close to helping others. There is no short-circuiting that process. People fall away from the Lord. People become cold and distant in their spiritual life. People walk away from their faith. And I'm going to tell you, largely due to they never invested their treasures in the kingdom. Now, I'm not up here begging for your money. I don't do that. We're clear? If you're a guest, we don't beg. We don't beg and we don't guilt and we don't shame. We don't do that here. Those are no-fly zones here at Grace. We don't do that. But I'm talking to you as your friend. If you want your relationship with Jesus to be better and stronger and more profound, your heart is going to follow your treasure. It just is. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I said. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. That's what Jesus said. So if you want your heart to be closer to the Lord, it's going to follow your treasure. We're talking about surrendering your stuff today. There's no greater prayer that I pray for all of you, many of you by name, that is that your heart will be hard after the Lord. And the way that works is that your treasure, your gifts, your abilities be committed to the kingdom of God. Has to be. There's no separating it. You know, God doesn't need your money. You need to give because that's where your heart goes. God's got cattle on a thousand hills, and our church is fine, and all of us are bivocational here. We work. So, we're not begging for your money. But my passion for you is for your heart to be close to the Lord. And the Bible says the only way that happens is to give your treasures. Surrender your treasures to the Lord. Surrender your money, stuff, and things to the Lord. Some of you are sitting at home and you have three or four cars sitting out back. And there are people in our church that need a vehicle. If you surrender your treasures to the Lord, one of those cars goes to a needy believer. Some of you have vacation spots, and I'm glad you do. Enjoy them. God gave them to you. Enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God gave you. God gave it to you for you to enjoy, but not to be owned by it. There are people in our church, there are people in our fellowship that need a break. They need to go somewhere for a week. They can't afford it. They just need to get away because their life's coming apart. If they don't come apart, they're going to come apart, right? And so they need that. You have that. Surrender those things to the Lord. Just surrender them to the Lord. Yeah, but Terry, I worked so hard for it. Yeah, no, you really didn't. Deuteronomy said it is God who gave you the ability to make wealth, not you yourself. And we're going to take up the offering. Because you guys are not liking this. I'm telling you, this is a bad one. No cakes or pies for Pastor on Easter. All right. The next thing he says is this. No one can serve two masters. You can't love money and love God. They are in opposition to each other. You can't do it. Not that you can't have money. You can have money. If you've got a bank full, I pray you get two bankfuls. If you've got two, I pray you get three bankfuls. It's not about money, stuff, and things. It's about being defined by it. It's about being possessed by it. It's about being selfish. It's about being greedy. It's about saying, my brother over there needs, and I have it, and I'm sorry for them. Be warm and well-fed as you sit there with abundance and not caring about hurting people around you. If you get to that point, your stuff owns you. You don't own your stuff. And your heart will fall away from the Lord. And I love you. And I don't want your heart to fall away from the Lord. And so this scripture says, you got to put your treasure, and you can't love two things. If you have a boat, enjoy it. Got a nice truck, enjoy it. Go on a cruise, enjoy it. Have fun. Y'all know me. You have a party, invite me. I promise I'm not a downer. I am telling you, I am the fun pastor. All right, so invite me to your party. You guys know that too, don't you? Right? Yeah. So, you know, because it's not a downer, man. This isn't it. What it says is this. You cannot love money and things and stuff at the same time loving Jesus because they're antithetical. They're two different value systems. Money's about having, possessing, greed, selfishness, hoarding, right? It's about that. And Jesus is about generosity and giving and loving and showing mercy and kindness. And you can't love both. You just can't love both. Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, flip over to Hebrews. Hebrews 13:5 warns us about something and says this: keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, that means God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say. Now, why does he say that? He says that because money will leave you and forsake you. Let me just say this to you. Listen, the saddest day in your life, I'm almost done. The saddest day in your life is when you get those things that you think will bring ultimate satisfaction to your life and they fail to deliver. The saddest day in your life is when you get all of the stuff you thought would make you the happiest and it fails to deliver. The second saddest day in your life is when you get to the top of that ladder, that corporate ladder, that social ladder, that financial ladder, whatever it might be, and you find out it's been leaning against the wrong wall. That is a horrific day in your life. It is a horrible day. Don't let it happen to you. Hebrews tells us not to put that much faith in money because it will leave you. But here's the great news for you. God never will. God never will. Your money will leave you. I was in Dayton, Ohio in the 90s. Some of you remember the 90s. Some of you weren't born in the 90s, okay? I've had to come to grips with when I tell my stories, there's generations now that are driving that know not of what I speak. Anybody with me on that? You know, we're getting a little bit older here. But I was in Dayton, Ohio in the 90s, and there was a big market correction, just a little history for some of you who were not born yet, all right? There was a big financial correction in the 90s, and I was in a pretty nice-sized church. It was a pretty affluent area. Folks there did pretty well. It was just in a little community called Kettering, right outside of Dayton, Ohio, and there were dozens and dozens of people in our church that had retired that had to go back to work because their 401ks left them. Money will leave you. How many of you know you can go to the fair this afternoon and spend $100 before you turn around? Anybody with me on that? I mean, you absolutely can. I was talking with a guy last week who's struggling through a drinking problem. He's drinking way, way, way too much. And we were talking. He came by, and we were talking a little bit. He said, Pastor, I don't know what the problem is. I'm broke all the time. I'm like, you don't really know? Oh, I said, dude. You go to the bar every night. I mean, how many of you know you could drop $200 in a bar in a night and just win in a second? Anybody know that? How many of you don't want to admit it in church that you know that? You're in church. Oh, I'm not raising my hand on that one. No. I mean, I don't want to. That. Of course. Of course. You can. Listen, money will leave you. Money will flee from you. Money will exit on you. But God won't. So, 1 Timothy 6, if you'll turn there, just emphasizing this point again, 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 says this, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Look at this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this love of money craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. You know what? A lot of people, now I want you to listen, please. A lot of people leave the church because they think the church is after their stash. I mean, that's just true, man. I've got my stash, and it's mine, and I worked for it, and I did it, and it's mine, and I worked for it, and I did it. And if the church comes after my stash, I am out of here. You know, we're going to be down to 12 next week. All right, that's my prediction. We're going to have about 12 people next week. You know, that's what I'm thinking. And you do. And if you think the church is after your stash, you run out the door. What is that? It's the love of money. That's loving money more than the kingdom of God. That's loving money, stuff, and things more than the things of God. We're not after your money. You don't want to give, don't give. I really mean that. Don't ever. If you do it with an attitude, get my money, keep it. That is not blessed money. Don't want that devil money. Keep it. But here's the deal. For your spiritual sake, for your heart, for your soul, for your mind, for your spiritual condition, let go of it. Surrender it to the Lord. Surrender it. I worked too hard for it. Well, God could have killed you. But he didn't. Let go of it. You will, listen, you will be better. You will be more full. You will be closer to the Lord. Your life will be better. Surrender it to the Lord. We're going to have a prayer in a minute, and we're going to do that for those of you who want to. Luke 12 says this. Luke 12 tells us, Luke 12, 15 says, and then Jesus said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. That's wanting stuff that's not yours. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Did you hear that? One's life, this is Jesus, not Terry. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. You're more valuable than stuff. Jesus didn't come and die for your boat. He didn't come and die for your car. He didn't come and die for your retirement plan. Jesus came and died for you. You're more important than stuff. You're more valuable than stuff. He loves you, not stuff. You are the object of his desire and grace and mercy and kindness. God cares about you. You don't know what I did last night? Pastor, it was horrible. Yeah, and God loves you anyway. Before you lived one day, he knew all of your days, and he loves you anyway. God loves you. Surrender your stuff. Surrender it to the Lord because you're bigger than that. You're more important than that. You're more valuable than that. Oh my goodness, how horrible would it be a neighbor who could be won to Christ by a little kindness and generosity stays apart from the Lord because of selfishness. How horrible would that be? Just a little generosity, just a little kindness, just a little mercy. It's amazing what the Lord can do with just that. Finally, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 11 says this. Now I'm speaking of being in need. This is Paul. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then the most misquoted and misunderstood verse in the entire Bible, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anybody ever been a part of FCA? That is like FCA's favorite verse. And I always used it to see if I could dunk a basketball. I used to quote it before ball games. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boom, boom, boom. Never could dunk, right? Because that's not what it's about. It's about life and life situations. Here's what Paul said, because Paul surrendered all of his stuff to the Lord, man. Paul was a guy who was sold out. Who, listen, everything he had, he viewed as an asset of the kingdom, not as his own personal asset. He viewed it as an asset to the kingdom. And Paul said, let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned to be poor. I've learned to be poor. Now, I will tell you, learning to be poor isn't nearly as fun as learning to be rich. Can I get a witness? All right. So we'd all probably rather be on the other side of the street on that one. But Paul said, listen, let me tell you about money, stuff, and things. I've learned to have it, and I've learned not to have it. And here's what I've learned in the journey: to be content with what God gives me. How cool would it be in just a couple minutes, and we're done, how cool would it be to walk out that door just a few minutes, and all the marketing, all the advertising, all the glitz and the glitter, all the stuff that people have, all the things out there saying, you need me, buy me, and you'll be a better person. How great would it be to be able to walk right on by it and your pulse rate not change a lick, and you be perfectly content with what God's given you and where God has blessed you? Would that be a blessing? Well, it's available to you today. It really is. Many of you know Billy Graham's saying that I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. Right? I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul. All the stuff you amass here will stay here. Though I got to tell you, I love this one bumper sticker I saw on a truck. I saw this bumper sticker on the truck. It said, when I die, bury me in this truck because there ain't no hole it can't get out of. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is awesome. That is great. I saw another bumper sticker that said, the man who dies with the most toys is still dead. Sort of sad reality, isn't it? So what's the point of what we've talked about today? Temporary things only bring temporary satisfaction. And it can define your life in ways that are less than what you deserve. But if you'll surrender in your heart and mind everything to the Lord, God, it's yours. Tell me what to do with this extra car. Tell me what to do with this extra money I have. Tell me what to do with this extra time I have. Tell me what to do. God, speak to my heart. Speak to my life. I surrender it all to you. Here's what's going to be great. Are you ready? You're going to be cured from these things. You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free from these things. Are you ready? First of all, comparing. Some of you are miserable in here today because you compare. Guys, you come home, honey, Bob got a new truck. Can you believe that? And what does your wife say? You're not getting one. We can't be happy for Bob because we're comparing. Because it's a competition for stuff. When one well-placed hurricane will take care of it all. And we fight for it. And we become angry about it. Ladies, you come in. Sue had new shoes again. Sixth week in a row, she had new shoes. And what do we say? Honey, you got a closet full that you don't wear. That doesn't count. Does not count. So, it just doesn't matter. Because shoes wear out, cars break, houses eventually fall apart. Your money can leave you pretty quick, but the Lord never will. Amen. So He deserves you to surrender your stuff to Him and give your treasure to Him so your heart will follow. So your heart will follow. I love you. Amen. Man, I want nothing more for you than to be as close to the Lord as imaginable. Jesus told us how to do it today. So it's up to you. Pray with me. Our prayers are real simple today. Our commitment time is just really simple. right there where you are, if you're willing, if God's called, and you want to take this step, just right there where you are, just say, Lord, thank you for letting me pray. Lord, thank you for giving me another day. Lord, right now, the best I understand how. Okay, there's grace for that. Are you hearing me? There's grace for that. Some people are going to be at different spots than others. So be honest with the Lord. The best I understand how, I'm going to surrender my stuff to you. My money is yours. It's not mine, it's yours. My vehicles are yours. My home is yours. My clothing is yours. Everything you've entrusted to me, I surrender to you. I want nothing in this world to have a hook in my life that keeps me from pursuing you with my whole heart. So I surrender my stuff to you right now. It's yours. Take it. Father, these are your people, and they're good people. And Lord, I pray that each person here will surrender their stuff to you. Father, it's such a sensitive subject, and forgive me if I didn't present it well, because it's so vital that people not be possessed by the possessables. Holy Spirit, stir in the hearts and the minds of these your people. Cause them to surrender their stuff to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. Ryan, come on up. Oh, offering? Yeah, almost talking about stuff and I forgot the offering. So, offering guys, come on down. A couple things as they're coming quickly, very quickly. If you're a guest, this is all we want from you. Please fill this out so we can pray for you and we can contact you. Also, folks, don't forget, this is how we pray for you. We really do pray for you. When you write prayer requests down here, you are prayed for numerous times throughout the week. So please, 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 please let us know how to pray for you. Write it out so we can pray for you. You can drop it in the offering plate, or you can put it in one of the boxes as we leave, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll go to our announcements. Father, we love you. And now, Father, we give for two reasons, because Jesus, you're Lord. We love you, and the gospel is the most important message in the world. Father, help us to be generous, and help us to surrender stuff to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, guys, go ahead.
Amen. Man, what a great opportunity this morning just to hear from God's word. It's sometimes easier to not have stuff, right? So it's easier to surrender when you don't have much, but man, God wants our all. This coming week, Wednesday, we've got our Wednesday menu out. It's not Taco Tuesday, but we're going to do Taco Wednesday. So Wednesday night will be tacos and all the fixings, so please come and join us. We've had a great time being together with that. I know that Mr. Roger wanted to kind of talk a little bit about Feed the Needs. So yesterday we had a pretty cool event yesterday. Is that what you're going to talk about? Awesome. Come on up this way.
Thank you very much. Those of you that weren't here yesterday, we had 150. Thank you. We had 150 volunteers packing. I want to thank Grace and Pastor Terry for allowing us to have that event here. It's the second time. We packed 48,000 meals. That is going to be enough food to go out to the schools so that the kids will have food to take home for the weekends through the fall. So thanks again, Grace and family, for participating. We couldn't have done it without you. Thanks, Pastor Terry, for allowing us, this family, to do that. And we look forward to doing it again. Thank you very much.
If you missed yesterday, we will do it again, and we'll let you know. But it is an amazing opportunity to just come and fellowship and laugh and hear cowbells and all kinds of craziness, but to also bless students. That's amazing to know that we're going to feed families through the fall. Did you catch that? That's through the fall. That's awesome. So, way to go. Thank you guys for that. If you would, just check your bulletins. There's plenty more announcements. Easter's in two Sundays. I'm sure Pastor Terry's going to talk about that, but I want to encourage you to also pray about who can you invite to come and go with you. Who can you invite to come and experience and celebrate the resurrection of Christ in 2 weeks? That's Easter. So, awesome, Pastor Terry.
Great. Thank you so much. Easter, bring someone with you. Our church grows and advances because of you, not because of me. As you invest and invite in your neighbors and in your friends, you invest in their lives, you invite them to come with you, our church expands and our church grows. All of our eggs are in your basket. We don't have a plan B because Jesus didn't have a plan B. And so it's about you. As you invest in your neighbors, as you invite your friends, listen, we're going to see God do some amazing things. I've been praying that the Lord would move on your hearts. I pray for our congregation all the time, and that the Lord would give you the best days you've ever had as a testimony to those who are looking for something real and something relevant. As God blesses you, be quick to share it, because that might be what people need to hear to come and connect with the Lord. Man, we love you. We believe in you. God's doing great things through you. Just trust him. And it's amazing how many people that I talk to now that know about you, Grace Fellowship, and how you're being a blessing to them. So thank you for doing that so much. Man, we love you so much. Yes, Michael. 2 o'clock. Robin is right there. Wave, Robin. What else is going on? Do you need help setting up? Great. And the great news is I won't be singing. So see, there you go. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Have a great day. Enjoy the fair. Enjoy the beach. Enjoy the life God's given you. It's phenomenal. And we'll see you back here next week for sure. Father, we love you. Thank you for today and your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to be together today. And Lord, as we work hard to let go of those things that are temporary in our life, so we can lay hold of you in a deeper, more profound way. Give us the grace, give us the power, give us the understanding. And now, Father, I pray that you bless these, your people. Give them a phenomenal week. Keep them safe. Father, pour every spiritual blessing you have for them upon them. Father, use them to do great things in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week. Bring somebody with you.